Praise the Lord. Amen. If you can't preach after that, you better hang her up, friend. Amen. Acts chapter 3, we're going to get this microphone right here in a minute. Acts chapter number 3, and I do wish my preacher could have been here to hear that. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 3. Amen. We did have a good week at the Sword Conference. What a blessing. Amen. They started out 100 mile an hour. Amen. Right off the bat, and they just finished it off the same way. Brother Joe Arthur preached that thing at the end, and praise the Lord. I don't know. I think we've heard a little bit about the blood this morning and the singing, haven't we? Yeah. Amen. Let me just say right off the bat, it wasn't the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. Amen. It had a part in it. Way, but it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. What a blessing to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. I'm going to say hi to my family. They might be watching on the internet. Amen. Acts chapter number 3. I've been without my family. I'll just say that real quick. I've been without my family for a few days. And those of you that are, amen, I'm starving to death. Amen. You men, amen. I got a little bit of room to, I'll be all right. Amen. I'll be all right. Acts chapter number 3. Let's go to the Lord. I want you to pray for our preacher, amen, and help, you know, the Lord will help him. He's going to be preaching out this week as he works his way down. He's going to be in the province land in Georgia. So pray for him as he preaches some revivals there as he heads back to us, that God will give him power and use him there in Georgia. Amen. Let's pray together before we get started. Dear Jesus, as we come to you this morning, dear God, I pray that you do a work that I cannot do this morning, dear God, that you would take your word today and that you would just do a work in the hearts of God's people. I thank you for the visitors and those that have come and have gathered in this place. Oh, what a church, dear God. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this place. I pray, dear God, today that you'd do a work, Holy Spirit of God, that you go into the hearts of the hearers and that you would take the word of God and you would do a work and you would just, if those need to be saved, today would be the day of salvation. Those that need to be encouraged would be encouraged. Those that would need to be uplifted or encouraged to get back into the work, that today this message, this Bible that you've given us, dear God, would encourage them to go on for you. I beg you, dear God, that you would use me today just as your messenger boy to preach your word, the unsearchable riches of Christ today. Just hide me behind your cross, O God, and just help me to do what you've called me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In Acts chapter number 3, if I had to give a title to it today, it would be Rise Up and Walk. Rise up and walk. Here in chapter number 3 of the book of Acts, we find Peter and John. And let me just say before, I'm going to make people aggravated right off the jump street. All right, let me do this. Jesus started the church in his earthly ministry. It was not started in the book of Acts. Amen. Right. There was some empowering that happened there. But boy, Jesus started the ministry of the church. He started the church in his own earthly ministry, all right? And let's not get mixed up on that. And some people get hung up in the chapter before, but here we come to chapter 3, and he says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took, look at it now, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat, look at it, sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, great and wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? I listen now. He went on to preach, but I want you to get something now. This is a great, great, area of the scripture where Peter and John walk up to the temple. And I just want to, if you could, in introduction, this is one of those messages I'm going to run as hard as I can run after I get done with the introduction. Amen, to get done. But if you would this morning, if you can understand what happened in the they come up here and it says that this lame man was lame from his mother's womb. I want you to picture as a saved person or a lost person today, I was lost from my mother's womb. The day that I was born, I was lost and broken, and I could not save myself. I was broken, lost in sin. But boy, listen, I'm so glad that daily, when I was a boy, somebody carried me to the church house. Listen, I'm so glad when I got a little bit older, my grandmother said, listen, she got tired of hauling me back and forth to church and got the church bus to bring me. But one day, friend, one day, one day sitting outside the temple, it clicked. One day, I heard about Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, you understand how, I love how Peter puts it. He says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen, there's all kinds of Jesus's people preach out there today. There's all kinds of different ones that they put his name out there and they'll tell you that he's a prophet, that he's, listen, I'm just here to tell you this morning, Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. And God came down from heaven, wrapped himself in just a robe of flesh, lived a perfect life and died on Calvary so that you and I, listen, I didn't have to be broken outside the temple anymore. I didn't have to be broken anymore begging. But one day, a soul winner changed my life, friend. Somebody, one day a soul winner came by my house and reached out to my dad and said, listen, I've told you what the gospel says. Would you like to accept it for yourself? Would you like to have Jesus as your Savior? And I'm so glad my dad reached out for that hand and he said, I'd like to have what you told me about. I'd like to have that Jesus that you spoke about. It's not just, listen, it's not the Jesus that a lot of people believe in today. I hope you realize that everybody that preaches Jesus today doesn't preach the Jesus that we believe in. They believe in a Jesus that doesn't have the power to save. They believe in a Jesus that's just a good man. They didn't believe in the Jesus that was sung about this morning. The judge of all the earth, the savior of all the earth. Boy, I can tell you, that. I've been rung up all week. It's all right to amen. Amen. It's all right to get excited in church. It's all right. Listen, you'll scream at the ball game, but when you come to church, it's all right to get excited about somebody that just died for your sins. It's all right to get excited about somebody. Listen, today I'll never die. I'm never going to die and go to hell. Do you understand that? I'm never going to spend one day, 1 minute in the flames of hell because I got saved. Amen. I've been in God's country where I guess they talk funny. And amen, they said, I've been born again. Hey, amen. I'm just saved. Saved and on my way to heaven. Listen, one day I was broken and I was undone in sin. But boy, listen, somebody told me about a Jesus that could save me. And I got saved. Amen. I hope that's true of you today. Boy, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if there's one doubt in your mind that if you died today, that you go to heaven, boy, I wish you would not leave this place. Oh, the reason we assemble here together today, number one, is to tell the lost sinner that they can be saved. And number two is for the saint to be encouraged. Boy, don't leave here today without Jesus. I would that you'd not leave here without Jesus today. Listen, Peter and John walked up, and here's two saved people. I hope you can get the picture. I'm trying to lay it out for you, with my heart and with my mind. Here's this lost man, this broken man, this man that's lame from his mother's womb. And two old Christians walk up on him one day. You ever been there? They're going to the church to pray. They're so spiritual, they didn't even see him there. Amen? They're worried about praying. They're worried about getting in church on time. You know how it is, like us good Baptists, arguing all the way up to the door. Amen? And somebody come up. Hello, brother. How are you today? You know? Amen. I grew up in a Baptist church. Amen. I know how it is. Listen now, they walked up to that door and that man asked alms of them. You know, I've been there. I've been walking down the street and somebody will say, hey, could you give me something? You got some spare change? And I'm a Baptist preacher, so I know I don't have any spare change. Amen. But what I got, I'll give you, friend. And it's worth more than anything I could give you out of my pocket. Well, I hope today, listen, we have opportunities to tell people about Jesus. I hope you'll take your, but this guy, man, I want you to see how this guy, if you can take this story and apply it to him being born again, it's exciting. It's exciting when you realize that this guy, man, he's broken and undone. And he, listen, I don't believe that he's ever stood on his feet. And the Bible says that he here comes Peter and John, and they're talking to him. And they said, listen, he said, what I've got, I'll give you. And look at it with me now. He says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them in verse number 5 and received. And listen, it said, planning on, he's expecting on receiving something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. That's a popular statement. But such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And listen, he didn't just leave him there. He reached out for him and helped his brother up. He reached down and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Look at it here. He says he reaches out and he grabs him and pulls him up. And the Bible says, listen, you want to talk about how quick salvation is? It's immediate, friend. I remember the day that I stepped out and walked in aisle, man. I remember the day. It was like that, boy. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I didn't have to wait for it to take, friend. It took over. I'm so glad you remember what it was like. Listen, this guy gets so excited, he didn't even know how to stand. I think this guy, I can imagine, he's down there like this, and he's all huddled up by the temple. You know how it is. He's like, oh, alms, you know, you got to make yourself look pretty bad if you want to get some good money. You know, you're like, he was all like this, and you know, I mean, he was stretched out. He was broken. I mean, he was messed up. And I'm not trying to make fun of him. I'm just saying he was out there trying to get some money. This is how he earned his living. And there he is. And he reached out because Peter said, give me your hand. And he gave that right hand to him. And you know how it is. I believe he meant just to get up. But he had never stood in his life. The Bible says that he received strength. Do you remember what it was like to get saved? I thought I knew what I was about to get. But when I got it, it was something totally different. I thought everybody ought to have it. I just didn't stand up, man. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I mean, I prayed and asked Jesus. And I'm not talking about a feeling, friend. I'm talking about what happened. And when I thought that heavy burden I carried down to the altar, when it was lifted, I expected to stand up and leave it. And I leaped up. I mean, all of a sudden, I was excited. I was like, I thought everybody ought to have that. Amen. You say that every time, Brother Parsons, because it's true. Do you know that's true? Every time I preach, I have to say that, because you know what is the most common thing is us as Christians. I'm just telling you, we get over it. We get over how good God has been to us to save us. The simplest thing in the Christian life, listen, that simple thing that God did in my heart and did in your heart and saved our never dying soul so that we could go to heaven, God help us that we get over it. And then walk by somebody that needs what we got and not give it to them. I remember I was out preaching somewhere and I was just in a hurry, man. I was in a hurry to get into the church house because I had to get up there and tell people about the college. I had to get in there and stand by the board. And a brother came by and asked me for some money. And I was in a hurry. I said, no, I don't got nothing, man. I went on in the church. And God broke my heart about that when I got in the building. Not because I didn't give him any money. There was a liquor store across the street. I knew what he was asking money for. But you know what? When I stepped in that door and the Holy Spirit knocked me upside the head, I said, pow, that's not what you needed to give him. He was asking for money, but you got something for him. Listen to me now, friend. I ran out of that place. And I ran after that brother. And I talked to him about the Lord. He didn't get saved, but listen, I don't know what happened today, but maybe he got a seed planted. Listen, I was broken over that. Listen, we ought to be after people. You say, I don't know any lost people, Brother Parsons. Do you pump gas in your car? They stand across the pump for you every day when you pump gas in your car. Do you go to the bank? How many of you pay bills? How many of you used to send tracts with your bills into when you paid them? How many of you used to just tell people? The track racks couldn't stay full because you were telling people about Jesus. God help us because we got over it. But listen, do you know that's just the beginning of this thing? Immediately he got saved. Immediately he got strength. And listen, you know what the tendency is when you get saved? To figure out what them people got. Hey, this guy, he had always begged outside the temple. But hey, that gate looked awful beautiful that day. And the gate is called beautiful. He stood up, and he leaping up went on inside with him. Listen, look at the scripture, and I'm hoping, I've got to run. I want to finish this thing, but I want you to, listen, I'm just getting out of the introduction now. Amen, amen, here we go. Look down with me. He says, I love this. He said in verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood. If you keep points today, point number one, he stood. Can I tell you today, the reason America is in the shape as it is because Christians take the seated position back like they were when they were crippled. Yeah. Christians today have forgot how to stand. I'm talking about, listen, did you remember the last verse? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that brother leaping up, do you remember the day when you got that power to leap up and be saved? You remember when you believed Jesus and you just trusted him by faith and you leaped up? Hey, it's time for Christians to stand back up. It's time for us not to act like a crippled race of people that we were saved out of, but to show the power of God in our lives. Amen. To stand for what we believed. To stand up and be counted. Man, there was a day and age when we just stood up and said, listen, that's wrong, friend. It's time for you to stand up in your workplace and to tell people, that ain't right. You said, I might get fired. Who saved you? Is he worth standing up for? Last time I checked, he not only saves you, but he takes care of me, friend. He's always taking care of me. Hey, you say, well, you're a preacher. I said, I don't believe this fellow was a preacher. He just got saved. I've told you my testimony. I remember when I got saved, and that night, I just thought everybody ought to have it, man. I started telling everybody that I could find about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I found out not everybody wants to hear about it. They started throwing wet towels and blankets on me. And before long, listen, you know what I had to do? I had to go back to this book to get my fire lit. I stayed in church so I could get encouraged, so that I could take, listen, I didn't want to go back where I'd been saved from. I didn't want to sit down like a broken person and beg alms anymore. Listen, I wanted to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and say, that's my Savior. Don't you talk about him like that. That's my Jesus. Don't you call his name out like that in vain. Listen now, I want to stand up. Listen, you know what? Everybody else stands for what they believe. Every crazy mess out there. Hey, the Muslims are standing for what they believe today. Against all the world, and the world is cowering to them. God help that Christians would stand back up and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This book says homosexuality is wrong. This Bible says that nobody's going in my daughter's bathroom but a bunch of ladies. You say, Brother Parsons, we've heard that. Yeah, man, but we need to stand. We need to stand up. Not just in legislation, but stand. And listen, I'm telling you, if I was in a place I thought that a man would go in the bathroom, I'd stand in front of the door. Nobody's going in there with my daughters. I got that little precious one and another one that I still think is like that. Amen. I dare you to go in there. Amen. That's standing for them, and we can amen that. But how about standing for Jesus? Standing up and saying, that's right. I said that. I said, you can only be saved by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Standing for this book. We used to stand for some things. We used to stand for standards. We used to stand. Listen, oh man, I saw people start looking around. Amen. It's not prayer time. Look up now. It ain't invitation time. Listen, we used to stand for some stuff. This church, listen to me now, this church is known all over the world because of the stand it takes. God help us to ever lose that testimony. We need to stand. If there ever was a day and age, listen, that we need to stand. I used to think, Brother Scotty, I used to tell my wife, I was born in the wrong decade. I was born in the wrong time frame. I should have been born back in the horse and buggy days. Amen. I should have been born, but you know what? I had a preacher say, I said that to a preacher not too long ago, and he said, you were born for such a time as this. And I've just taken it, listen, I've taken it as my mission to just be an old-fashioned Christian and to just stand. Listen, I chose a long time ago to run with the war horses and not the show ponies. Amen. Preacher said from this pulpit not too long ago, he said, I got a bunch of clones. You're looking at one. Amen. Listen, I want to be just like my preacher. I want to preach it just like he preached it. I want decades from now for them to say, boy, that place puts out a bunch of preachers. That place, everybody that goes to church there stands for what's right. Hey, we need to take a stand. Hey, think about it like this. Can you imagine the liberal crowd? If there was a chant that we ought to chant, it would be rise up. You know, Christianity today needs to rise up. Needs to rise up. We need to rise up. Say it with me now. Rise up. That did you good, didn't it? Amen. You say, Brother Parsons, that might be liberal. Come on, do it again. Rise up. Hey, you know what? We need to get excited as Christians today and stand for what we believe in. You know what we think? We look across this crowd and we don't think that other people will stand with us. You know, if we'll stand together, the Bible says that, listen, the gates of hell can't stand. Listen, we're supposed to be charging hell, not hell charging us. We're not supposed to get behind these church doors and hold up and just hold on until Jesus comes. The devil needs to hold on until Jesus comes. Amen. Listen, I want people to be saved. I want people to look at my life and see me standing and say, listen, do you know that throughout the ages, Christians have been killed and hurt and maimed all through history, and it has never diminished our numbers. It's always increased them because people stood, and people say, if they believe in that and they'll stand and die for what they believe in, then bless God, I want to go find out what they believe in. Hey, I'm going to stand. You going to stand? Are you going to stand? Listen, by the grace of God, I want to stand for the Lord Jesus. You say, Brother Parsons, I don't know. This is a Sunday morning message. I'm just preaching what God had me preach. Look down with me if you would. He said, then leaping, he stood and walked. And walked? Listen, do you know the Bible has a lot to say about your walk? Do you know it's great to stand? And that's that first position. The Bible says, well, when I get saved, I'm supposed to get in this baptismal pool and stand up for something. Put on the uniform and get baptized. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ is pictured in there. I'm putting on the uniform, raised to walk in the newness of life according to Scripture. My stand, it pictures my stand right off the bat where I stand. It gives me a position. It says I'm on the winning side. Look, I'm identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. But I'm raised to walk in the newness of life. Listen, you know that walk is talking about how we live every day. Do you know, I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. I think you ought to tell people about Jesus and who you serve. But listen, I'm here to tell you there's a lot of people that have watched my life through the years. There's a lot of people in Walmart that have come up and said, y'all must be Christians. Just recently at the Sword Conference, me and Brother Chad were coming in the motel about 11:30 at night. You say, nobody should be out at that hour. I agree with you. Amen. We shut down the Awful House. You know what that is? That's a Waffle House. Amen. We come walking in there, and that lady said, out of all us guys, she said, could I talk to you fellas? I talked to you for a few minutes. And she said that when we sat down. I said, well, you know, there's a whole bunch of preachers in this motel. Why'd you pick us? She said, there's just something different about you, fellas. Something different about you. Listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, we have got to get back to a day, listen, where Christians walk like Christians. Amen. Listen, there's a day. I don't have time this morning to preach all the different ways. Go to the book. Listen, go to all the New Testament epistles of Paul, and he'll tell you how to walk. He'll tell you how your walk ought to be, but listen, people are watching your walk. Hey, Christian, people are watching your walk. Hey, staff member, people are watching your walk. They want to see if you're going to walk the talk. Listen, it's not enough. Listen, your walk talks more than your talk talks. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Hey, we used to preach that. We still preach that, but we used to live it. I had a brother tell me, if your salvation is tied up in your tie, God help you. I said, my salvation is not tied up in this thing, but I want to look like a preacher. I want to look like what God called me to do. Amen. He said, Brother Parsons, you wear that tie everywhere? You know what? I had a preacher come up to me. I went to a youth camp just the other day. Not that you have to. I didn't know how I was supposed to dress. I just showed up with a tie on. You know, I took the jacket off because I was about to die up in there. Amen. And if I'd found whoever created the tie, I'd have choked them out. Amen. But I kept that thing on, and I went to preaching. Amen. And, you know, out of all the things, they didn't come up and say, Brother, that was a great message. He said, Brother, I want to tell you, I appreciate you dressing like a preacher when you preach at a camp. I appreciate you preaching it like it really is. Amen. And looking like a preacher when you preach. Thank God. Listen, we need our walk needs to be a certain way. People in the world are looking to you to see whether it's real or not. They're looking. Your neighbors are watching whether you're going to pull out the driveway and head to church. They're marking the time. Yep, they're headed to church this morning. They're looking to see if you go Wednesday night and Sunday night. They're looking and watching you to see if you really are what you claim to be. And listen now, he didn't just walk. Not just walking, but it says leaping. You see that? He stood and walked and entered in with them. Listen, walking and leaping. Hey, you know what I saw in there? God asked every one of us. You know, there's somewhere in your life. I can remember, and I never dreamed. Listen, I'm a hometown. I'm a backwoods flatbilly from Maryland. Amen. And I know you don't think them kind of places exist, but I'll take you there if you want to go. I never thought that I'd ever live more than 20 miles from where I was born. But I'm here to tell you, there was a day that I just said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And it's been a good ride. Listen, that was a leap of faith for me. Man, I live on like an island, a peninsula of the eastern shore of Maryland, and it's a big trip for us to go out either that Chesapeake Bay Bridge or that Chesapeake Bay Tunnel. That's a big leap for us. I mean, we're leaving everything we know, and we don't think anybody's sane off of that island. But I'm here to tell you, you know, God wants you to take a leap of faith in your life. I'm looking at a bunch of people, and listen, let me just take a minute to say this. I don't have a minute, but I'm going to take one right here and just say this. You young people, everybody 40 and down, or if you want to rise it up a little bit, raise up to 45 or 50, hey, you look around at this building. It took leaps of faith for God's people to build this place. When the preacher said he was going to blow the sidewalls out of this place, they thought, I guarantee it blew people's minds. Hey, I'm here to tell you, listen, if God's word and God's work is going to go on, it's going to be because young people, third generation Christians, decide to get up from outside the gate to stand for what Jesus says is right, walk like the Bible says we ought to walk, and take a leap of faith, and listen, pay for what God, listen, you say, oh, it's all about money, Brother Parson. Listen, you think this building just showed up here? Pastor talks about the miracle offering. I wasn't here. I wish I was here to watch God's people. Listen, people going down to the bank and taking out a loan and giving it to the church. Some of you are sitting there going, that is crazy. That is a leap of faith. Listen, you say, but that's not how it's done anymore. That's how it got done in the past. And if it's going to get done in the future, that's how it's going to get done. God's people, listen, are going to have to learn what it is to sacrifice again. I'm just telling you, God's people to build, listen, I'm not talking about a building. You look across what's sitting in here today. That's the building. What's going on up in teen church today is the building. The fuel that went in the tanks of the buses that went out and got kids and came back is the building of this church. Listen, I'm here to tell you today, if this thing is going to go on in the future, it's going to take God's people taking a leap of faith. I'm thankful. Listen, I thank God. I hope you understand. I see some people looking cross-eyed at me, and I hope you understand how much I love this place. I hope you understand just how much. Listen, you don't understand. I preached last week in my Sunday school class. Them young people, you say, preach. Yeah, there ain't much teaching that goes on in there. And I told them boys, they have no idea what they got, what they have in a man of God that's here. I was at the Sword Conference this week, and preacher after preacher, when they're checking to see what their preaching's all right, they check with Pastor Carter. Amen. Listen, you'll enjoy this. We walk down to the front, and they have like three or four rows at the front reserved for the preachers that come to the Sword. it says reserved for the sword conference on it, big old piece of paper. Preacher says, come on, let's go down front and sit here. I said, preacher, this is reserved for the people that are speaking at the sword. He said, I come for the sword meeting. He sat down there. I sat with him. And I said, who in the world is going to walk up and ask preacher to move? Amen. I wouldn't. Pastor Carter can sit anywhere he wants. If he'd have gone and sat in the choir loft, they'd have said, hey. It's good to see you, Pastor Carter. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the preacher we got. I mean, they'd stand in the pulpit and they'd say, ain't that right, Pastor Carter? He'd say, amen. That's the preacher we got. Listen, we got a church that everybody talks. If there was a new epistle being written to this book, it would be written, they'd say, and listen, we heard about the faith of Landmark Baptist Church all around the world. I'm telling you right now, listen, I'm preaching to you. You say, Brother Parsons, this is a little bit hard. I'm just telling you this morning, listen, I don't want it to stop. I want it to stand. I want us to show our walk before the world. I want us to leap out in faith. You say, but we got so much going on. Listen, if you think Jesus is happy with where we're at, friend, I'll quit preaching right now, but I don't believe so. I think he wants us to go farther and to do more. And to listen, do you think we've even scratched the lost of this world? You think we've even scratched the surface of people that are lost and dying? Look at it with me now. This ought to help you today. Maybe you'll get a smile on your face before we leave. And praising God. He went leaping and praising God. You know what I think? I want to tell you now. If you didn't stay with me, I'll say number one, he stood. Take a stand for Christ. Number two, he went walking. That's your testimony. Leaping, that's your faith. Lastly, praising God. That's your attitude. Your stand will tell somebody exactly what you believe. Your walk will talk louder than your talks. After you stand up for what you believe, they'll see that you keep it just like it's preached. Then he goes a step farther and he says, listen, just don't walk, man. Take a running leap forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, praising God. Do you know why most of the world cannot see just how good our God is? It's because we don't praise him like we ought to. When was the last time you thanked God for your preacher? 45 years he's been in one place. Do you know how unreal that is? That's uncommon, okay? That's beyond uncommon. It's irregular for a man to stand in one place and preach to the same people. He'd say he's blessed, but listen, I believe we're blessed. Listen to me now, to have a church building and a place that God allow us to has air conditioning in Florida. Praise God for air conditioning. Hey, we ought to be praising him every day. We started off praising him for our salvation. Listen, we ought to praise him for a perfect book. We ought to praise him for a place to meet together with other good Christian people. Thank God for this congregation. Thank God for the preachers that are here. For the ones that, listen, stand with us and will say amen when the preacher preaches. Thank God for this place. Man, we ought to get excited that we got a church that we can come to. We ought to thank God that, listen, I can wake up. I laid in bed the other day and I just woke up and said, thank God for how good you are to me. I don't deserve all that God has given me. I don't deserve a beautiful wife and children that are healthy. I don't deserve to serve at the Landmark Baptist Church. I don't deserve to be saved today, but God has blessed me. And listen, if you went through your life, you could praise God the same way. Can you imagine what the world would be like if we started out broken and they saw us leaping up and then they saw us stand and take a stand for Christ and then walk after him and follow him as a good disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and then leap out in faith and do something for God? Can you imagine after all that if we had a good attitude and we say, God has never been anything but good to me. What would the world do then? I think the world would be turned upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, if you're here and you don't know that good Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, you don't know if you died today that you'd go to heaven. You don't know that. Listen, today, you could know that. Today, someone could take the Bible and show you just how you can get saved.